Complicated is a word we have used for relationships. I preached a sermon series a couple months ago called It's Complicated. But it's also a word that we could use for the human being, the human body. Well, maybe not the word complicated. Maybe the word complex is a better word. What I introduced last week was that this appreciation for the whole human body, the whole human being, as presented in a prayer by Paul the Apostle, who prayed this in a benediction prayer that he wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When he wrote this, he said, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. We talked about the human body and how in ancient Greek culture, most were they used soul and body as the duality of human beings. But what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, and many people have gone back into antiquity and looked at ancient writings, and Paul seems to be one of very few people, and I'm talking literally like three other people, use this trichotomy, soul, body, and spirit. That is the whole of the human experience. And so that the humans are made up of spirit, or in the Greek, pneuma, the soul or mind, the Greek word psyche or psuche, and body, the Greek word for that is soma. And last week we prayed for healing of the mind. This week we want to fix our attention to praying for the body. And so we want to look at soma, which is the Greek word for body. Interesting question I need to ask. It's a really important one. How do you take your eggs? I can pretty much eat my eggs any style. I can eat them scrambled. I can eat them over hard. I love a good boiled egg, a six-minute egg. I love a good boiled egg. The center can't be too hard. It has to be kind of creamy. But I have to say that probably my preferred way to have eggs is either sunny side up or over easy. I like the yellow goo, y'all. I know for some of y'all that grosses you out, but I like the yellow goo. I haven't always liked the yellow goo. I remember when I lived in Lansing, I used to go out to breakfast with this guy, David Bonnell. We would go to this local breakfast spot in Lansing, and he would get his eggs over easy. And we're talking, and he's like sopping his toast in this yellow goo, and he's eating. And I'd be honest with you, sometimes like the goo would like be like on his mouth, and I'm like, oh, that's so gross. It was several years ago, and I know I've told this story before. I'll share it for those of you who haven't heard it. We were in Marshall, Michigan, where Christy's late sister used to live and teach. She was a chorus director, and we were there for one of her concerts. She would put on these concerts for her chorus program, her music program. And the whole family was there, Christy's parents and her other siblings and me and they were getting ready. Usually at these concerts, Christy and her sisters would do a singing performance, and I think they were like practicing or something. And so somehow her dad and I, her late father, we ended up at Denny's, and we were eating breakfast at Denny's, just the two of us. And so we're sitting at Denny's. My father was a diabetic, a type 1 diabetic, born with diabetes, and he had every like side issue with diabetes. He had poor eyesight, he had a bad heart, he had bad kidneys, a bad liver, and he was a double amputee at this time. And so I was pushing him in his wheelchair and rolled him up to the table at Denny's, and we sat there and we ordered breakfast. And for whatever reason, I felt adventurous that morning. I said, you know what? My father-in-law is getting his eggs like over easy. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try this yellow goo. And so I ordered my breakfast. I don't know what else I ordered. I just remember I said, "Hey, can I get my eggs over easy?" And we sat there. Our meals came, and we were eating. And I cut into my eggs, and the goo fell out. And I got a piece of my toast, and I sopped it, and I ate it. And you know what, church? It was delicious. I loved it. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm eating this yellow goo, and my dad's eating, my father-in-law is eating, and he just blurts out, I don't know what made him at this moment say this, but I'll never forget this day. He looked, and he said, "Man, I wish I had my legs back. I wish I could walk." And then he just started saying, "Man, I just wish I didn't have bad eyesight. I wish I didn't have this heart issue." And then he just kept on eating. And there were two thoughts that just really flooded my mind at that moment. The first was, I really like my eggs over easy. The second was this, I wish I had the power to reach over to my father-in-law and heal him. I wish I could say a prayer or do something and like his legs like reappear. And that might sound silly to you, but I really felt that. And I felt so incredibly helpless and so incredibly inadequate and almost like a failure, because as my father-in-law expressed the struggle with his physical body, there was just nothing I could do about it except for enjoy my breakfast and listen. Can any of you all relate to this? Now, I know we have some medical professionals in the audience. I know we have a doctor at Children's Hospital. But have you ever just been with a loved one or family member or patient and you pray and you pray and you would give anything for them in that moment to just be healed? I remember years ago, there was a church member that used to go to church here. I was meeting with him in my office, and he said, "You know, every Sunday, you know, there are people who are asking for prayers because they're sick and they're hurting. And there are times that when I see them in the audience, I just want to stand up and I just want to go stand next to them and just pray over them to be healed." And I told him, I said, "Well, next time you get that feeling, go do it." But he expressed that desire not to see people hurting and in pain and wanting them to be healed. That's what it's like when we're besides people who hurt and their bodies hurt and ache and it's riddled with cancers and other diseases. I want you to know that on this topic of the body, hurting and this desire to be healed, this is not something that God is uninterested in. God has created us with a body, with flesh and blood, and when our bodies hurt, I believe that God cares. I believe that the heart of God hurts when his children hurt, just like a parent would hurt for their children when their children are in pain. No one, when their children are in pain, says, yeah, smile and walk away. No. I don't know about you all, but, you know, when my kids hurt, I actually get some phantom pains. Anyone ever experienced that? There are times that I actually feel pain when my kids hurt. Now, you know, I often have to play the man role and, you know, say, hey, go walk it off. Or, you know, it's mom is the one that nurtures and kisses and hugs and sings the song to get them, you know. But part of me being kind of cold in that moment is because I'm dealing with my own pain, dealing with the pain of others. That's part of the human experience. We hurt when other people hurt. But I want you to know that God is interested. God is not uninterested. God knows that human beings will suffer with pain and diseases and persistent ailments. And some of these men and women in the Bible, we see that some of the narratives in the Bible is about the pain and disease of others. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there is a story of a guy by the name of Naaman. He was the commander of a Syrian army, a pretty important figure. He had leprosy, a skin disease that was contagious and really bad, no cure for it. And an entire chapter of the Hebrew Bible is dedicated to his sickness and his eventual healing. The cries of the psalmists often contain their struggles with physical ailments. In Psalm 38, a psalm attributed to David, perhaps the cry of David as he flees his pursuers. He was one that he had some enemies who were after him trying to kill him. And he writes this Psalm 38, describing his health. Verse number 3, because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low all day long. I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. I believe that's from the NIV. I don't know if that was the one on the screen there. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. In the Gospels, numerous stories are told of those who were suffering from physical ailments. While these stories highlight the healing power of Jesus, let's not forget that these were actual people who were suffering from real physical ailments. The healings of Jesus served the purpose of revealing the power and purposes of God. But let's not relegate these men and women to mere pawns in the story of Jesus. They were people who were hurting, and I'm so glad that God cared enough to meet them and to heal them. In Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, it says that there were many who suffered with leprosy, that skin disease. And in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, the Gospel of Luke includes a lot of these stories of people being healed from their physical infirmities. There was, in Luke 5:17, a man who was paralyzed. In Luke chapter 7, in verse number 21, it says, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases and sicknesses and evil spirits and gave sight to many who were blind. In Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 46, there was the story of a young girl who was sick who eventually died. And there was a woman who had a severe bleeding issue, an issue that lasted for like 12 years. In Luke chapter 13, there was a woman with a back issue. It was so bad that she had been bent over like this for many, many years. She couldn't even stand straight. In Luke chapter 14, there's a man with a disease called dropsy. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, there's another story of men with leprosy. In Luke chapter 18, there is a blind man. As Jesus is going to Jericho on this road, he heals this blind man. Again, not just pawns in some cruel human experiment, real people with real pain who were hurting. Week to week, several in this room share stories and request prayers for their own pain or health issues, or they share the pain and health issues of their loved ones who they love and who are experiencing some physical ailments. Some in here have had heart attacks. Some in here have had back issues. Some in here have had strokes. Many of us in here have back issues. My wife and I right now, we go back and forth sharing back stories, back injury stories, because the pains associated with our lower backs is just horrible. It was 2 years ago. It was like a few days after my birthday. I hurt my back so bad, and I'm in bed. It took me 2 hours to roll out of bed. It took me another hour to get dressed. Another hour to get to a position where I could get to the car and drive to a chiropractor and beg them to crack me, do something to get me. And he did something. I was able to walk a little bit. But that has begun a 2 year struggle with my lower back. That still is just not right, church. Many of you in here know that story, don't you? You know what it's like to have to wear the back brace or have to ice it and put heat on it and do different stretches and go to physical therapy and you take pills and they don't work. You take muscle relaxers and that don't work. And you go to the chiropractor and that works for a little bit, but then it hurts again. Last week, I briefly mentioned Elijah the prophet, and I shared that he suffered from a mental breakdown, and God had to minister to him. I want to revisit that story just for a few seconds to kind of highlight where we're going today in terms of praying for healing and to remind us about the story in 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Remember, Elijah had this battle with these prophets of Baal, and he won the battle, and he actually put to death some of their prophets. And Jezebel says, I'm going to do something about it. Verse number 2 says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. She put a bounty out on him. Then he, talking about Elijah, was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. And he asked that he might die. He says, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. There Elijah lays consumed by his mental strain. And in that mental state, God enters. Verse number 5 says, then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. It may be a small detail of this story. You can read the rest of chapter 19, read 18 and 19, and there are much bigger things going on. But there's something in that description that just jumped out at me, and it sticks with me. And it's that in this story, God not only attended to Elijah's mental illness and later on his spiritual illness, but he also addressed Elijah's physical state. Verse number 7 again, get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. Church, don't think for a moment that God disregards our physical bodies and our physical conditions. The people of God ought to embrace this same concern and care. We readily concede that not all sicknesses will be treated, not all diseases will be cured, not all cancers will be in remission, not all heart ailments will be fixed, and sadly, many of these physical conditions will result in death. But even so, we stand together as a church knowing that we have a God who can heal and who is concerned about our physical conditions. And because he can heal, we can't stop going to him on behalf of the sick and on behalf of the women infected with COVID or on behalf of the man with stage 4 pancreatic cancer or on behalf of the child in need of a heart transplant. We can go to God on behalf of the football player with a traumatic brain injury or on behalf of the army sergeant who stepped on an IED and survived, on behalf of the little girl with leukemia, on behalf of the man who will lose his limbs due to complications with diabetes. Just because some sicknesses end in death and just because some sicknesses may get worse doesn't mean that we can't stop praying to God for healing. Brothers and sisters, we ought to know that our God is involved and that he's interested in our physical bodies just as he's interested in our mental health and our spiritual health. Brother James wrote this in James chapter 5, verse number 13. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayers of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Church, this is why we pray. We believe that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, and we pray continually, even with the knowledge that not all will get well. And this isn't double talk. This is the reality of life. I am sure there are thousands who came to Jesus to be healed, and many walked away still sick, still hurting, still physically disabled. I believe this breaks the heart of Jesus as one who had been given the power. Even he knew he couldn't heal everyone. There were so many times that so many people came to Jesus to be healed that he says, guys, I got to get away. Let's get in a boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake. I have to get away. It was stressful. It was mentally taxing for him. Later on when we pray, I'm going to pray for all of you who are members of the medical community, doctors and nurses and other medical staff. Your work, particularly in the past couple of years, has been heroic. You have seen and treated the sick, and you were part of making them well. But you also witnessed death of those who succumb to their illnesses or injuries. And that just simply can't be easy. We want to pray for your well-being. We want to pray for your continued strength as you care. This morning, I am going to pray for physical healing as I prayed for mental healing last week. I am going to pray a bold prayer. I'm going to make a courageous request for the physical healing of everyone who hurts. I'm going to pray for our hearts and minds who are desirous of physical healing. I'm going to pray in expectation that God heals and that he moves on our behalf. I'm going to pray that God heals however he chooses to heal, and that healing is according to his way, and that because it's according to his way, we will receive and embrace it. I think I've told this story before. When I lived in Flint, Michigan, I was a youth minister, and I used to have kids, part of the youth group. Like half of the youth group were all the grandkids, the Lawrence kids. They were, you know, 4 from one family and 3 from another family, so it was like 7 or 8 kids. And their grandmother was married to a guy whose last name was Lawrence. They had gotten a divorce, and she had remarried, but they still had a relationship with their grandfather, Artaby. His name was Artaby Lawrence. And I remember that Artaby Lawrence was a lifelong alcoholic, and I remember that Artaby Lawrence was suffering from cirrhosis of the liver. And I remember that Artaby Lawrence, during this period when I was there in Flint, Michigan, Artaby was dying. And I remember them coming and sharing the prayer request in youth group, hey, pray for my granddad. He's dying. I was a student at Rochester College, and I remember in assembly, there was someone who came and spoke, and he had talked about praying bold prayers and praying for healing. And I have to be honest with you, I was kind of upset with him. I just thought that what he was saying just wasn't true. But I was challenged by some of the things that they said. And it was so troubling that there was this Wednesday, I remember waking up that day so just troubled by wrestling with this issue of prayer and healing that I had committed that day to fast and pray that entire day. I'll never forget that day, because that day, the guy that takes care of our like culinary, our kitchen, you know, you've all had college food, and college food can be okay. But this day, Jim Case, I'll never forget his name, because I'll never forget that he did this to me. He didn't know he did this to me. But that Wednesday, he decided to grill New York strip steaks and baked potatoes outside on a grill. And so even in my dorm room, as he is grilling steaks, guess what I can smell in my dorm room? I can smell New York strip, church. It's like 6 in the evening, it's dinner time, and everyone is going to dinner to go get their New York strip and their baked potato. And I'm in my room mad. And I remember I got down on my knees by my bed, and I started to pray like I had never prayed before. And I remember I prayed for Artaby Lawrence. And I remember I uttered words that I had never uttered before in a prayer. I said, God, heal Artaby Lawrence fully in the name of Jesus. I never forget that prayer. That Sunday, I went to Flint because I was interning at the church, working at the church, and I drove to church to go preach. And I was handed a note that said, congratulations to Artaby Lawrence, who was baptized into Jesus Christ last Wednesday. I'm looking at it like, just can't. So I went to the people who took care of the baptism. I said, when did y'all baptize Artaby? Oh, it was around 6:30 on Wednesday night. And I don't know if it was the exact time, but the thought that at the moment that I was on my knees and uttering the prayer for Artaby Lawrence was about the time that he was buried in baptism into Jesus Christ. Artaby had been given like a week to live. I think he lived another 3 or 4 months. And what a blessing to enjoy his new life in Jesus, the extra few weeks of life, and celebrating that with his grandchildren and others. I didn't know what healing meant when I prayed for Artaby to be healed, but I accept God's healing. This isn't double talk, church. This is me having full faith in God, that God knows what he's doing when we pray. So I'm going to pray that in just a moment. I'm going to pray for God to fully heal people who are physically hurting. I'm also going to pray that we increase our mindfulness about taking care of our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, Paul writes, or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in your body. I mentioned last week that the health and wellness sector is a $1 trillion industry. By some reports, every year the globe spends $4.5 trillion on eating healthier, getting fit, looking younger, doing all the things to be healthy and well. And that's good. It's okay to buy memberships to gyms and to go exercise and to buy a book about, you know, diets and eating and all of that is good as we try our best to take care of our body. But I want us to make a commitment not only to do these things so that we can look younger and so that, you know, next year is my 30-year high school reunion I'm going to next June. And I'm like, man, I got to get back to what I looked like in high school, you know, when I had this bodybuilder physique. I need to do that. That's okay. But that's really not my full motivation for good health. My full motivation for good health is because God blessed me with this temple where the Holy Spirit lives. And our pursuits for health and wellness ought to reflect our understanding that this is our temple. I told Anita Lahoon that I was going to steal this from her. She posted this on her Facebook page last week. It was a picture that said, if you don't make time for wellness, you will be forced to make time for your illness. My brother is on a health journey right now. I think right now, he's lost over 90 pounds in the past like 5 months. He's doing really, really good. But I remember he told me he went to his doctor and his doctor took some vitals and his doctor looked at him and said, hey, so when can we schedule your stroke? That was a wake-up call for my brother. And he's been working on that. Please do not hear this as a guilt trip or word to trick you into caring for your body. Hear this as my confession that I have often neglected care for my body. Personally, I need to eat better, exercise more, sleep better, and keep all my appointments to my doctors. It's okay to eat a cookie or two, just not the whole pack, right, Kent Berry? It's okay to join a gym, and it's okay if you don't join a gym. Just go walk the neighborhood once or twice or three times a week. Eating better, sleeping better, and exercising will not mean we are exempt from sicknesses, diseases, or injury, but those things can't hurt. So I want us to pray right now. And again, we are prompted from the words of Paul who said in that Thessalonians letter that God of peace would sanctify entirely spirit, body, and soul. And as we pray, I'm going to invite you to get into the posture of receiving again. And that is a posture with palms raised to the sky, which is a way of saying, God, I receive it. And as I pray, you are welcome to pray. Pray for your own physical healing. Pray for the healing of those you know who are in physical pain right now. Pray for those with cancer. Pray for those who are suffering with COVID. Pray for those with excruciating back pain. Pray for those who are suffering the ill effects of diabetes. I want us to pray for healing. At the conclusion of the prayer, the praise team will come forward. We'll sing a song of encouragement. If there is something you want to respond to, you are welcome to respond to that. But right now, I'm asking you to receive this healing prayer. Let's pray. Merciful God, we pray to you for the recovery of all who are facing illness or pain. We join our prayers with all who love them. Grant them renewed strength and courage. Strengthen in them the healing powers you have placed within us all by your Holy Spirit. Guide the hearts and hands of those who are entrusted with their care. For doctors, nurses, technicians, and all medical staff, we pray a prayer of gratitude and blessing for all that they do. God, we pray that you would bless them with energy, renewed strength, and a resolve to continue what they do in the face of great challenges. Help all of us who share the anxiety of illnesses, diseases, and injuries, to be brave and hopeful. Inspire us with courage and faith. Grant your blessings to all who call upon you in prayer to heal. O God, who blessed our ancestors, both men and women and children, send your blessings to all who are sick or hurting. Have mercy on all of them and graciously restore their health and strength. And we pray this in Jesus' name. God, we pray for the ones with cancer. God, heal them in the name of Jesus. We pray for the ones with diabetes. We pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. We pray for the ones with heart issues. We pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. For the ones with failing kidneys and failing livers and failing organs, we pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for the ones with eye issues. We pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the ones with cerebral problems. We pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for the ones with excruciating back pain, excruciating pain in other extremities. We pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for the thousands, the millions who have COVID. We pray that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. God, make them whole again. Give them the blessing of feeling your healing touch right now as we pray. Grant them a complete recovery. May healing come speedily. May the knowledge of your love and ours give added hope to them and to their dear loved ones. May they find even greater strength because our prayers are linked to theirs. We pray with one heart, God. Heal in the name of Jesus. And when pain and fatigue are our companions, let there be room in our hearts for strength. When days and nights are filled with darkness, let the light of courage find its place. Help us to endure the suffering and dissolve the fear. Renew within me the calm spirit of trust and peace, even as pain lingers and disease worsens. We praise you, eternal God, the source of healing and health. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us. I know that you hate what illness is doing to our loved ones. We ask in your name that you would heal these diseases, that you would have compassion and bring healing from all sicknesses. Help us to trust in you. And it is in your name that we pray to take control.